Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we long for your peace and trust your promise. We hear your call to turn to you, change our lives, and welcome you in. So lead us again with your word. Fill our minds with your wisdom and our hearts with your peace. That our worship together may open us to your dream of wholeness for all. We pray in the name of the coming Christ child. As I mentioned, you've seen the e-votions in your inbox every morning. We're calling this a storybook Christmas. The other pastors and I selected that as a theme for our Advent reflections because this season is so chock full of stories. Biblical stories and cultural stories, and they all seem to wind through each other. Last week, Rachel read from Prophet Jeremiah, who says that a branch will spring up to bring justice and righteousness to all people. In a similar way, Isaiah talks about a shoot coming forth from the stump of Jesse. A branch, a shoot, tiny, little, insignificant things. As Rachel was preaching, the image that popped into my mind was the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. That scrawny, pitiful thing that love and attention. Jeremiah's little branch will grow and usher in God's hoped-for kingdom so that justice and righteousness will tower like that tree in Rockefeller Center. All of those stories get wrapped up together at Christmas time, and I think it serves us well to pay attention to them. Today, we turn to Luke to hear another familiar story, this one about John the Baptist. Begin the reading in Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Every year, the gospel readings during Advent point us at least twice to the ministry of John the Baptist, sometimes more. And listen, John is nobody's idea of holiday cheer. Mark Brown Taylor describes him as the Doberman Pinscher of the gospel. Big old dog with a spiky collar who grabs us by the ankle when our defenses are down and our eyes are already set on a starlit stage. A friend of mine just refers to him as the crazy uncle who crashes the family Christmas dinner and overstays his welcome by at least a week. We'll hear more about John and his ministry next Sunday, but for now, I'm intrigued by the way Luke places John into historical context. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. It's all very specific. Luke could have started with, the word of God came to John in the wilderness, this is not just once upon a time. It is very specifically in the 15th year of Tiberius' reign when Pilate was governor of Judea. Why? Now, some of that is purely practical. The business of dating events by years, as we do now, BC and AD, Common Era, and before Common Era, and all that, none of that started until the 6th century. So in Luke's day, if you wanted to mark an historical event, you did so by naming other events that had taken place, or by identifying the rulers who were in power. When Herod was ruler of Galilee, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. To give you a modern-day equivalent, it would be like me saying, in the 21st year of the 21st century, when Joe Biden was president of the United States and Bill Lee was the governor of Tennessee, in the second year of the COVID-19 pandemic, in the month when Adele's fourth studio album shattered all records for first week sales, in the semester when Vanderbilt had that losing football season, I'm sorry, forget that one. That could have been a number. The point is that Luke is trying to be very, very specific about when these events take place. And you have to wonder why. We may get 2 weeks of gospel readings about John the Baptist, but he's not the real story, is he? The real story happens in a manger in Bethlehem. It all reflects something theologians refer to as the scandal of particularity. The idea that God only creates particulars and individuals. John Duns Scotus, a 13th century Scottish Catholic priest, called it the quality of thisness. Thisness grounds the incarnation in the concrete and the specific. Thisness says that God acts in particular ways through particular people. You can't follow universals. It's hard to love concepts or notions or philosophies or ideas. One seminary professor says the scandal of particularity is all the messy challenges that come about when followers of Jesus say that the God of all creation, the ground and source of all being, was also somehow mysteriously embodied in a vulnerable baby who improved his diapers. God always acts in the particular. This couple, these descendants, this promised land, this John, this Mary, this Joseph, this manger, this baby. An encounter with God is only ever personal and concrete. Anything else is just theory and easily ignored. One of the stories I return to at this time of year is the 2003 movie Elf. If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor. Without giving too much away, a baby crawls into Santa's bag unnoticed during a stop at home one Christmas Eve and isn't discovered until the sleigh returns to the North Pole after completing the rounds. The baby, who is named Buddy, is raised by the elves until he is 30, when Santa decides it's time for Buddy to leave the North Pole and live in the world. He ends up in New York City at Christmas time, where he is hired as a very convincing assistant at Gimmel's department store in the children's toy section. The excitement starts on his very first day when his supervisor announces that Santa will be there the next morning at 10 a.m. And even if you haven't seen the movie, I bet you've seen the meme of Buddy, who's played by Will Ferrell, jumping up and down and saying, "Santa! Santa! Santa's coming here! I know him!" We can guess where this is going. The Santa who shows up the next day at 10 a.m. is just some guy in a rented red suit. Not the real Santa whom Buddy knows. After telling the imposter that he sits on a throne of lies, Buddy and fake Santa get into a brawl and all but destroy the toy department. But I love that specificity, that particularity. Buddy knows Santa, and he knows is looking for real. When God wanted to redeem the world, God did not send an idea about love or forgiveness or sacrifice. God so loved the world that God gave the only begotten Son. That is the good news John has come to announce. News promised first to Isaiah and reaffirmed by Luke. John's good news is that the way the world works under Tiberius and Pilate and Herod and Philip and Lysanias and Annas and Caiaphas, that world is not the only option. The good news is that there is something else out there on the horizon. Something better is about to happen. But let's be honest, sometimes, some days, it takes a lot of imagination to envision any reality different from the one we've been mired in of late. But hope is always a possibility. Maybe you remember a few years back when a 5-year-old boy in San Francisco had been treated for leukemia. The Make-A-Wish Foundation asked Miles what his wish was, and he wanted to be Batman for just one day. But, he says, since he was only 5, what he really wanted was to be Bat-Kid for a day. Word got out on social media. 13,000 people in the Bay Area answered the call and came together to make Miles' wish. On the designated day, there was a Batman meal, and a Bat costume, and a senior Batman in uniform to accompany the junior Bat Kid. For one day, San Francisco became Gotham City. The mayor made a proclamation, and the San Francisco Chronicle ran a special edition Gotham City Chronicle newspaper with Bat Kid's picture all over it. The forces of evil were banished. The Penguin and the Riddler were sent back. Now, did San Francisco really disappear and become Gotham City? Of course not. Was evil banished along with Bat-Kid's enemies? Not entirely. Was Miles' leukemia conquered forever? So far, so good. We can't know for sure. But for a few days, a few hours, on one November day in 2013, there was a bitter reality pushing back against loss and leukemia. For a few hours, a different vision offered promise and new life. Sometimes what's real isn't just what we can see. Sometimes what's real isn't what we can measure. Sometimes what's real is what we dream toward, and what we pray toward, and what we work toward. So all praise to the God who shows up in the most specific and unexpected places. All praise to the one who calls us by